Please turn, if you would, to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24, our text will be verse 14 through verse 24. Have you ever had to make a hard decision in your life? I'm talking about the one that would change your life. A decision like to marry or not to marry. Buy a house or not buy a house. Move to a new city or stay where you are. Or take that new job or not. If you haven't been faced with these, you will be. But take it a step further. Have you ever been confronted with some hard spiritual decisions? Again, I'm talking about life-altering decisions. Well, if you're saved, you have experienced such a choice. I do not know of any other decision which has had a greater impact than a response to Jesus Christ. But yet for me, I also recognize that, hey, spiritually, I have to have decisions that are made in regard to ministry. I had to deal with the call to ministry. Is God calling me or not? I also had to make some tough choices as to where to minister. Spiritual choices, we all have to make those too. And such decisions should not be avoided. But I have found that our society has a tendency to remove commitments and to avoid conflict and difficult, necessary decisions. The idea is, well, if we just let it go long enough, it'll work itself out and we won't have to decide anything. Well, choices are there and they must be made. And you will have to make them. And if you think you can avoid them, you'll only be deciding to align with the results, whether they're good or bad. The truth is, sometimes our indecision has greatly affected our lives as well. And it appears that among professing Christendom, there is too much indecision. Some Christians will not choose to follow after Jesus. But such indecision is really a decision to follow after the world and after sin. I challenge the unbeliever today to look at the choices and choose wisely. I exhort the believer to look at the choices and choose well, determined to serve the Lord. But permit me to qualify my words lest any should misunderstand. You have some choices to make. Yes, you do. But I assure you, you cannot make the right decision without God moving in your heart. We each need His grace and are wholly dependent upon Him. We're going to look into our passage today. And well, the title that I've given to our lesson is Choose You This Day, which will make sense if you're familiar with the text. Choose you this day. Let's pray. God in heaven, we thank you for the privilege of being in your house. Thank you for these who are here. And Lord, our heart goes out to those that would love to be here and cannot due to sickness and providential hindrance. We ask you bless these and heal the sick and meet all those needs. But we've come together today to worship in spirit and in truth. And we desire you to speak to our hearts and Lord, and to receive the worship that we've offered. And as we look into your word, we pray that you would just take that and apply it to our lives. Help those of us who are saved to recognize that there are many decisions that must be made in your service. And Lord, we pray that you would just grant us the grace that we need to choose right and to be obedient and to be found faithful. We pray for those that are lost. Lord, the biggest choice that they have in their life is their response to you, and I pray that you would work in their hearts and convict by your Spirit and draw by your power that, Lord, grant repentance and faith unto eternal life that these might be saved. May they choose wisely. And so we just thank you this day for your word. Speak to our hearts. Draw us to you, we ask in Jesus' name and amen. Choose you this day here, Joshua chapter 24, verse 14 through verse 24. Now, I remind you that Joshua began his service as an assistant to Moses. He was 40 years old when he was one of the 12 spies, and he was sent to search out the land of Canaan. And of course, the nation of Israel, because of their rejection of God's leadership, wandered in the wilderness for another 40 years. And so he would have been at least 80 when he succeeded Moses upon Moses' death. And so he led the nation of Israel into the promised land and gave them their inheritance. And the scripture tells us that Joshua died at 110 years of age. And our passage that we're concerning ourselves with appears to be just prior to his death. And so maybe 108, 109, maybe at 110, these things appear to have been spoken. And so let's notice, first of all, we have a number of verses to concern ourselves with. And what I'm going to do is narrow that down. We'll go through the entire passage, come back, narrow that down a little bit, and then narrow that another step further. And so let's notice the passage itself. Verse 14 down through verse 24, I've broken it up into segments. First of all, notice the plea. Verse 14, verse 15. Joshua speaking to the children of Israel says, "Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And so what we need to recognize in this plea, as Joshua begins to speak unto them, is the propensity of the children of Israel given to false worship. I mean, way back in Egypt, they worshiped false gods. Before that, they worshiped false gods. After they came out, they worshiped false gods. They just had a tendency to follow after the wrong gods. Now, I submit unto you here today, those of you who are lost, that there are many gods out in this world. There are many religions of which is vying for your soul. And you can look at it and say, "Oh, well, they're just all these beliefs, and I don't know which one to choose." I just want you to know that there are many out there. Now, there's only one true one, and we'll discuss that as we go through. But there are many that would want to draw you away. But also for those of us who are already saved, those of us who have become believers, there are many things in the world vying for our attention. Many things that would draw us away from the Lord so that we would not follow Him the way God would have us to follow. We find a plea here that Joshua makes to the children of Israel, and he's referring to them and their tendency to just go after all these many gods. Verse 16 through verse 18, notice profession. "And the people answered and said, 'God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore we also serve the Lord, for He is our God.'" Now notice that despite all of their worshiping of other gods, they're claiming that they will follow the true God. And this is the God that has provided all these benefits. And they speak of how God has protected them and brought them through, how He brought them out of the land of Egypt with the 10 plagues and wandering through the wilderness, how God had watched over them, protect them. They have so much to speak of about, well, what God has done for them. And so when Joshua makes the plea to them, they are professing, "Yeah, we'll do that. We will follow the true God." Now, I submit unto you as we make application of that very briefly is that in regard to those who are lost, I have found that very often they make an allegiance to God or a God or to religion itself. "Well, God has always blessed me. God has done this and God has done that." They're lost. They're not saved. But as unbelievers, they still have some sort of an allegiance to God. And that's what we find the nation of Israel as being at this juncture. But then for those of us who are saved, those of us who are believers, and I've encountered these, and of course I've experienced some of this in my own private life, is that we might go through a worldly phase and yet, of course, claim an allegiance to God. I have met so many people who I cannot convince them that they're lost, and yet there's not any evidence there to prove that they're saved. They're so worldly, but they have this claim to God, and well, I'm committed to church, and I'm committed to God. And that's where the children of Israel is. They have the plea because of their idolatry. They have the profession that they make. We'll follow God. Look into verse 19 and verse 20. Notice the penalty of which Joshua speaks. Here's the penalty. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgression nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that He hath done you good. Joshua, knowing their tendency to follow after all these gods, recognized that, and he just expresses it to them, God's not going to appreciate your behavior. God will punish you. God will judge you. God will bring things upon you. He will not forgive your sin. And so he's bringing to their attention, they make that profession, but it's a dicey one because they're just not likely to keep their word. And so the penalty is expressed very clearly. And I do want to remind each of us, whether you're saved or whether you're lost, God will reward, and I use that word in quotes, God will reward the unbeliever and the believer. And sometimes that's a negative thing, isn't it? Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Recognize as an unbeliever, if you want to still go away from God, you'll receive judgment for that. And even as a believer, if you're saved and you want to be worldly and you want to forsake the Lord and you just want to do things your way, that God will reward you. It'll come back to you. But at the same time, as a Christian, if you serve Him, follow Him, and be obedient in the way that He would have you to, that God will also bless you because of these things. There is a penalty attached, and that's what Joshua speaks to them here within the context of our passage. Notice in verse 21 and verse 22, the proclamation. Joshua extends the warning, and here's their response, verse 21, and the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. Joshua warned them, and they said, we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen you, the Lord, to serve Him. And they said, we are witnesses. So in spite of the warning, they make an affirmation of their decision to follow God only. And, generally that kind of is what happens in our society to whether a believer or an unbeliever. If they're spoken to about these things, there's usually an expressed a commitment. I believe that. No, I'll respond. A lost person is going to say, I'll come to church and I'll do this and I'll do that. And Christians, there's a proclamation still. They're still wandering away from God. They're still far from Him, following afar off, but there's still a commitment there. And so you can kind of see how the children of Israel was thinking. Let's pick it up in the last verses of our passage here, the practice, verse 23, verse 24. Since they committed to this, Joshua speaks to them how they ought to practice. So he says, now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and His voice will we obey. And what Joshua was doing after this discussion which we have unfold in our text is that Joshua encourages them now to action and to evidence. Okay, if you say that you're going to follow after God, then this is what you need to do. You need to put away from these gods. You need to show this. You need to demonstrate. You need to have some evidence. He says in the text, he says, incline your hearts unto the Lord. The word incline means to deliver, to extend. It is the idea to lay down. And so there's the intentions. You incline your heart unto God. Give your heart to the Lord. And well, certainly that's a desire of any of us who proclaim the gospel, that we encourage both the lost and the saved to always incline your heart unto the Lord God. Dear sinner, we want you to be saved. We would love to see you repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Give your heart truly over to Him. Don't follow in a false way of religion. Don't follow with a concept of, well, I have God and so many of these other gods that I'll be accepted. My friend, there's only one true God and one true way, and that way is found in Jesus Christ, and there is no other means of salvation. I encourage you to respond to the Lord and demonstrate that by action and by evidence. But certainly as a Christian, we need to respond with action and evidence. You say that you're saved, then let's live like it. Let us be as God would have us to be. There is something I want you to note before we go to the next point in the message as we concern ourselves with the context or the passage itself. And turn a page over to the right, maybe two pages in your scripture, it depends. But go to Judges chapter 2, not very far away. And what we find in Judges chapter 2 is a more continued history, of course, of the nation of Israel and coming into the land. And Moses has died. Joshua's in control. They're coming into the land. Now it comes into the point of Joshua's dying. Verse 6 through verse 8 tells us the death of Joshua. What do we read? Remember the commitment of Israel. What do we read in verse 11? Judges 2:11. Joshua's dead. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And who'd they serve? And served Balaam. Notice, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And so then we have the book of Judges, and you just have to read the book to deal with what goes on there. But the children of Israel, what happened? Joshua makes this challenge, and they said, we'll follow that. Yes, we'll be obedient. He warns them, and they make that commitment. They'll stick right there with it. And when he's dead, what do? They turn and walk away right away, don't they? They follow after all these other gods. And so recognize what we're dealing with here in the passage and what Joshua is speaking to the nation of Israel and the necessary exhortation that he told them, choose you this day. You need to really make a choice here. That's my exhortation to you. Choose you this day. Well, we noted the passage. The second point of my message is the plea. In those points that we looked at in the first was the plea. And we looked at verse 14 and verse 15. I want to go back and just focus in a little bit more upon the plea. So we're Joshua 24, verse 14, verse 15. First of all, there are three things that I'll bring to your attention. First of all is several. Verse 14. What do I mean by that? Well, we've already mentioned it, but notice what he says. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. Put away these gods. They are many false ways and many gods that they followed after. Before they ever came into Egypt, they had followed after the gods of their fathers. Back up for a moment. Verse 2 of the chapter. There's a reference to even the gods before Abraham. And Joshua said unto the people, verse 2, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. That's their national history, isn't it? By the way, the word flood there could also be translated as the word river. And the consideration here is the matter of the Euphrates River. Abraham lived in the Ur of the Chaldees, and when he was called of God to leave, he came out, and they went up to Haran, and then when Father Terah died, then they left and came into the land of Canaan. But that family, other than Abraham, once he was called unto the Lord, that family worshipped false gods. That's what we read in verse 2. They had served other gods. And so he tells us in the text in verse 14, he says, you put away those gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, before the river. Those things that are normal to your family, those false gods, you need to put those away. There are many opportunities. Then he made reference in our passage about in Egypt. If you look in verse 5, we find, of course, the children of Israel had been in Egypt. And he says, I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterward, I brought you out. Were the children of Israel in Egypt? Yes, for 400 years they were in Egypt. Did they always follow the true God of heaven? No. They followed the false gods, not just the gods of their fathers, but also the gods of Egypt. They were a very idolatrous people. There were so many things to distract them. As they went through the wilderness, they followed after the false gods. We read here where Joshua is commanding them that, hey, you need to follow the true God. They say, we will. They go into the land of promise and they forsake God. They just will not be obedient. There are just so many things to distract. And yet at the end of verse 14, it says, and serve ye the Lord. The issue is, follow God. Yes, I know there are so many things out there that you could attach yourself to and to be have an allegiance with. But you serve the Lord. Follow after God. So that's what we find expressed further into verse 15. Verse 14 is the several, the idea that there are so many gods and so many things that would draw us away. But then there's the selection. Verse 15, the first two portions of the text. Joshua speaking says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of whom the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. Really, it's a matter of Joshua saying, you know what? Quit straddling the fence. You need to make a choice. Either serve the gods of your fathers or the gods of Egypt. You just can't be doing both. But that is, the nation of Israel is trying to always get the best of it all, aren't they? They just think, well, I can do this. Do you remember back when the children of Israel came up out of Egypt? Moses brought them out, and they went up, and Moses was in the mount, and Aaron fashioned the golden calf. And he came down the mount with the Ten Commandments in his hand and saw the people dancing and partying around this golden calf. Yeah, it didn't take them long to stray, did it? That's just the propensity of the nation of Israel. And what did Moses say? He cast down those tablets, and he says, who is on the Lord's side? And the Levites were on the Lord's side. Choose you this day is what Joshua is saying. Do you remember what we read over in the book of Revelation? Let me read this to you. In the letters to the seven churches, there's a letter to Laodicea. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 3, and in verse 15, it tells us this. To the church of the Laodiceans, Jesus said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Choose you this day. You can't have both. Pick one side or the other. And Joshua is challenging the nation of Israel here. You need to put these gods away. But I'll tell you, you need to make a choice. Choose one or the other. If you choose the father's gods, then follow after them. If you choose the gods of Egypt, then follow after them. But you need to make a choice. And dear friend, today you're here and you're lost. You need to make a choice. Quit following after religion and quit following after the false gods that you think that are bringing you to your heaven. You need to make a choice. Choose you this day who you're going to serve. And stick with it. And we as Christians, we need to make a choice. Are we saved? Did God change our lives? Did He change our hearts? Did He make a difference in us? We need to make a choice about how we're going to live. And so Joshua tells them to make a selection. Choose you this day. But of course, what was Joshua's declaration? And that leads us to the third point under this plea. And that's the statement found at the end of verse 15. He says, you choose. You make these decisions. He says, but as for me, and for my house, we will serve the Lord. My, what a testimony that is. And by the way, this is a personal commitment. You do what you need to do, but I'm going to do what I need to do. You want to follow after the gods of Tira? Go right ahead. You want to follow after the gods of Egypt? You can. But as for me and for my house, we will serve the Lord. What a statement that Joshua makes to these people. Choose you this day. I've made my choice. What will your choice be? That's what Joshua is saying unto them. And so he makes this plea with these people. And of course, his desire is that they would serve the Lord, that they would forsake these gods. But he knows that he can't make them do. But he does want them to make a choice. Choose you this day. So we had the passage, and then we focused down just a little bit upon the plea found in verse 14 and verse 15. I wanted to notice the particulars. Right here in verse 14 once again, back up for just a moment, 3 points that we want to notice. And the first thing is this, the particulars. Verse 14, read the verse, and what we find here. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. The first thing I submit unto you, in particular in regard to the plea, is the commitment. It's those last words of the verse. And serve ye the Lord. Joshua's perspective is not, well, just do whatever you wish. He knows he can't control it, but his exhortation, his heart's desire, it's like Paul saying, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. His heart's desire is, and serve ye the Lord. Make a commitment. Dear sinner friend, today, you need to commit to God. You need to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Call out to Him for mercy and turn your heart over to Him. Make a commitment. Christian, you need to be committed to the Lord. Serve ye the Lord. God did not save you just so you could have a merry time in life and do whatever you want and then go to heaven. He saved you in order to live for Him. Serve ye the Lord. So there's a request in this plea. These particulars involves a commitment. Secondly, notice the corrupt. And there's always the corrupt, isn't there? And he says, you put away the gods. Put away those things. And so, sinner, what you need to do is you need to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember many years ago when Miss Jerry used to come to our church before became a member, before she was saved. We talked with her, witnessed to her, and of course many other people would witness to her. But we made it very clear to her, because of her background and because of the false gods that she had been exposed to, that she just can't add Christianity onto those gods, but she needed to repent and believe on Jesus Christ and acknowledge God and God alone as the true Savior. And then only then can she be saved. She had to reject all those other gods that she had been taught all of her life. And you know, God worked in her heart. God worked grace in her. And she believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and was saved. The true God. She had to put away those other gods. And so, dear sinner, today I want you to recognize that you might have your ways of belief and things that your parents taught you and your grandparents taught you. Even though they fly in the face of the Scripture, you think, well, I can do this and I can just attach myself to Christianity and I can just believe on Jesus and make some sort of profession and I'll see God one of these days. You got to put away those gods. You have to choose you this day. You have to make a choice. Why? Because there are things out there that are corrupt. And the same thing applies to those of us who are already saved. There are so many things in the world that's corrupt. And we need to put those things aside. Joshua says, you need to make a commitment and you need to put away these things. And may we who name the name of Jesus Christ put away that corruption that is so prevalent in Christian lives these days. The last thing I point to your attention in these particulars of verse 14 is the character. Because what he says is, he says, well, you know, you got all these corrupt things out here, but I want you to serve the Lord. The character is this. Now, therefore, he says. That's what he says in the beginning of the text. Now, therefore. What is the character that ought to be found in those who are lost so that they might be saved, and those who are saved that we might be as we ought to be? The character. Now, therefore. He says, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. We need these three items, these issues of character in our lives. Fear. Fear the Lord. The word means that in the Hebrew. It is to fear. It is to reverence. It is to be afraid of. You ought to hold it to be dreadful. Fear the Lord. Is your perspective of God, well, he's just an old man up in heaven and wringing his hands, wondering what he's going to do with these people down on earth? Do you consider God just to be the man upstairs? I'll tell you, you ought to fear God. God is the sovereign God of the universe. I mean, He's the creator and He's the sustainer. He is God, and we ought not treat Him just like that. He's a buddy-buddy. He is a buddy, and He's a friend that's closer than a brother. And we can go to Him. But you understand what I'm saying, don't you? We ought to fear the Lord. But then also the discussion is, follow Him in sincerity. Serve Him in sincerity. That word means integrity, that which is truth. without spot, that which is upright, that which is whole. Will you follow God in sincerity? Dear sinner, you need to repent of those false gods and you need to cling to God and God alone and follow Him with sincerity. And we who are saved need to follow God in truth, with integrity, without spot. And of course, then that word truth mentions in the text, serve Him in sincerity and in truth. It's the truth that shall set you free. And so, sinner, you need to know the truth. You need to follow the ways of the truth. And we who are saved, we need to understand the Word of God, study the Word of God, that we might rightly discern the Word so that we can obey God and follow the truth. We want to know the truth. Aren't you concerned about the truth? So many in our society care nothing about the truth. They just care about their way. They won't listen to the truth. We need to know the truth and we need to respond to it. So I see in the particulars of this plea, these three items, that there's corruption, but there ought to be a commitment and there ought to be this character that's being expressed in the text. Now the last thing is this, and that's verse 15, the practical. It's a matter of choose you this day. The practical. If you don't want to follow God, then follow the gods of your fathers. If you don't want to follow the gods of your fathers or the true God of heaven, then follow the gods of Egypt or the gods of whose land you dwell. But you need to choose. You need to make some sort of commitment. Here's the practical application. And just Joshua says, choose you this day. And that's all I say to you today. Choose you this day. Unbeliever, would you choose redemption through Jesus Christ? Would you yield to Jesus today? Jesus is the only way. He's the truth. He's the life. No man goes unto the Father but by Him. Scripture says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The only way you can ever have eternal life, the only way you can ever see God is through Jesus Christ. And you need to choose Christ. Now, I know there's a big thing in our society about decisions and all that. I already gave you the qualification in the introduction. The only way a sinner can ever choose Christ is if God works in her heart and convicts and draws and moves by His Holy Spirit. I fully understand that. But you can't eliminate a decision either. You still need to choose. You need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Scripture says. And believing is a choice, isn't it? Will you believe it? And you can only believe by grace, I know. But don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Choose you this day. Did Joshua know what he's talking about? Absolutely. And so I just submit unto you, dear sinner, today, you need to choose the truth. You need to choose Jesus Christ. You need to repent and believe on Jesus Christ. And then for those of us who are saved, I address the believer just momentarily here. Choose holiness. Would you actively, in your heart, choose to serve the Lord Jesus Christ now that you're saved? You must make an active choice. And we do that every day, don't we? We have to make these choices every day. What will I do? Where will I go? What will I say? How will I dress? Will I honor God, not honor God? Will I go to church today? Will I read my Bible today? Will I pray? Will I witness? There are so many things in our lives that we have to make choices in. And I just encourage you to choose the Lord. Choose holiness. Again, by grace, I know. Without Him, we can do nothing. But I encourage you, dear Christian, choose you this day. Choose holiness. Yes, by grace. That's true. So I qualify that. Always by grace. I know there's a statement that says, and I finish with this, if it is to be, it is up to me. You ever hear that? If it is to be, then it's up to me. Well, I agree with that, and I disagree with it. Because I know that God in heaven must move, and God must work, and God must do, or it will not be done. In that sense, it is not up to me. But also God has given us a volition and God has caused us to where we have to make decisions and we have to choose. You make them all the time. And in a moment I'm going to ask you to stand. You'll choose whether to stand or not. I'm going to ask you to turn to a song number. You'll choose whether to turn to that song number or not. You'll choose whether or not you sing. You'll choose whether or not you pray with us when we finish this time today. You'll choose when you leave this building whether to go out this door, that door, or the other door. You'll choose which way you go. You'll choose whether you go to the bathroom or not before you leave. You'll choose whether or not you'll come back this afternoon, or you'll come back on Wednesday night, or if you follow God tomorrow, the next day, or the next day. You're going to make a lot of choices, aren't you? I just say unto you, choose you this day and be obedient to God. And in that sense, it's up to me. We make those choices. And so, choose you this day by God's grace. Sinner that you might be saved, Christian that you might follow Him. And I ask you to pray for me that I would always choose God and follow to obey and to be obedient and to be holy as God would have me to be. You pray for me as I pray for you that God will work this in our lives. Let's stand. Will you choose you this day? Father, again, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. Thank you for your word. We pray that you just speak into our hearts by your Spirit. We know that if you don't work it, it will not be done. But we pray that you would convict the lost and draw them to you, show them their need of Christ, grant life today, and that they might repent and believe. And may we who are saved be found true and faithful unto you. Forgive us where we fall short. Forgive us for when we make the wrong choices. Cleanse us from those things that we might be a holy people. God, cause us to choose you today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 334.